السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد، فقد قال اللہ تبارک و تعالی فی القرآن المجید: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله وفضل كرم إحسان of الله تعالى. We find ourselves once again on a Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat kareema outlines that Allah ta'ala has created insan. Allah ta'ala says nas, mean entire mankind Allah has created. And the first division, or the division that is found everywhere, is that some are male and some are female. Allah Ta'ala has created some insan are male, some Allah Ta'ala has created as female. Then Allah Ta'ala has divided us into different clans, different tribes, different families, different colors, different languages. And Allah Ta'ala gives the reason that why Allah Ta'ala made us in different groupings, different tribes, different clans. In other ayat we learn different languages. So Allah Ta'ala has made this lita'arafu, so that you are able to recognize one another. It would be easier for you if Allah Ta'ala had to make everyone the same. Because even within a race group, right? If you take, for example, white people, so some are pink, some are red, some are white, some are more white than others, isn't it? Some are fat, some are thin, some are tall, some are short. Now, if everybody say, no, all of us should have been like that one person, that color, that height, that eyes, that everything. Now how confusing life would have become. So Allah Ta'ala, this is a mercy that Allah Ta'ala has created everybody different. And each person is created uniquely. Each and every person is unique. Allah Ta'ala has created. So you'll get certain people, they are resemble one another, maybe in color, maybe in looks, maybe in stature, maybe in zaban, but each person is unique in his own right. But then Allah Ta'ala sets a rule that all of this doesn't matter in the court of Allah. What color you are, how tall you are, how short you are, all that doesn't matter in the court of Allah. What matters in the court of Allah is who has got taqwa. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The ones who have got the most taqwa, they are the most honored in the court of Allah, in the sight of Allah, in the book of Allah. Understand? So currently, we have a situation in our country, an ongoing, it's live, it's current, it's carrying on, where people that have come into the country from other countries, right? And the amazing thing is, we're only concentrating on Africa. Nobody is looking at people that came from Europe, or people that came from Israel, or people that came from Australia. The more fairer skinned people, nobody is looking at them, that whether are they here legally or illegally. The papers that they have obtained to give them locus standi, some legal status in the country, how did they obtain it? A man from Zambia or Zimbabwe or even a South African person born in South Africa to South African parents, but his parents, for whatever reason, they didn't register him. Right? They didn't register him. He may have been born in the village or whatever, so they never registered him. But he's a South African born to South African parents. He is trying to sort out his papers. He can't get going. He's been to the Home Affairs, he's been to the police station, he's written, got an affidavit signed, but he still doesn't have an ID. Right? And people that have come, the more fairer skinned that have come from Israel or what they call Israel, we don't even recognize that place that they call Israel, they come into the country and tutus, they got citizenship, they got South African IDs. Right? So nobody's worried about them, but that's a topic for another day. What we're concentrating on is that the people from other countries, from the continent of Africa, they are being targeted, that they must leave the country. Right? So, we are not the politicians, and as I explained to the different classes, that we can't see the cry of the man who is at the very low end, you know, who is just making ends meet or not making ends meet. We cannot understand their cry, right? So they have got a valid cry that, look, the president or the government or the officials at the borders or whoever it is to blame, people are just walking in, and this is causing taklif in the country, right? Now you'll get some people, they say, but who made these borders? So if you don't believe in the borders, then why did you come through the border? So when it suited you to come through the border, and you get some people, they say, no, Islam doesn't recognize borders. There's no such thing as borders. This is all man-made and everything. Right? So that there is a valid point, but now you can't undo that now. These borders are already there. The people that came into the country, they came in through those very borders. So they acknowledge those borders. Right? So anyway, they came in. Now they're just coming in the numbers and numbers and numbers. And this is giving taklif to the local people. They say that we are not getting jobs. The hospitals are overtaxed. The government resources are getting overtaxed. And now we in a problem here. Right? So they have got a valid cry. We don't deny that cry, right? For example, if I gave you dawat, I gave you an invitation to my house, right? So I told you, you can bring three people and come. Right? Come, three people, come for meals. You pitch up there with 15 people, right? And you tell me, no, you must have a big heart, man. Just feed all these people. Come. Just feed everybody. Why are you being so selfish? Just come. Now, is that going to cause me a taklif or not? I only prepared for three. I set the dastarkhan for three. So when you can understand it on that scale, now understand it on the country scale. That the country does a census, they do a poll, they do a head count, in our language. They'll call it all different things. And they know, like, okay, there's so many people living here. So, for this many people, we need that many clinics, we need that many hospitals, we need that many schools, we need that many. And now you get thousands of people that come away there, unregistered. We're not talking about those that are coming legally, they are registering. Unregistered, totally and they're staying away there. Now, definitely, it's going to take a strain on the resources, right? Because they are undocumented. Nobody knows that they are there. But they want to use the hospital, they want to use the school, they want to use the municipal water, they want to use the lights, everything. But they're undocumented, they're not counted for. So it's going to cause a strain on the country and on the people of the country. So we not down there at that end of the ladder to experience that. So that's why it doesn't hurt us too much. But the people who are there, they feeling the pinch. So that's why they're getting frustrated and they are making a cry. Now whether this thing is, backed or it is something that has been pushed, it's a Zionist agenda or a Jewish agenda or whatever it may be, it's anti-Islam, anti-Muslim. At the end of the day, you need a valid cry to push a people in a direction. So there is a valid cry there. Now whoever is manipulating that cry, if there is anybody, that's there to be seen. Right? But there is a valid cry. The second thing that is happening, the second thing that is happening currently in the country is a whole lot of anti-Muslim, anti-Islamic sentiment, what you call Islamophobia and all that. And this is rampant now on social media. Right? Some of my young friends, they take some screen grabs and they send it to me, oh, see what they're talking here, see what they're saying. Right? Muslims are like this, and Muslims are terrorists, and Muslims are the problem, and whatever. So this is a strange thing. Like, where does this whole thing become an Islamic thing now? Right? So we have to reflect. Right? We have to reflect. We have to think that if so many people are talking bad about Muslims, right? If somebody comes to tell me something bad about you, and I don't know bad about you, so I'm going to defend you. Say, no, he's not like that. But if you did couple of shady things, and now somebody comes and tells me something worse, you say, maybe there's a possibility. Maybe there's a possibility. Right? So, I want to go give you a little bit history lesson, right? Because a lot of you are young, you may not know. You see, if you turn the clock back in South Africa, we're going back to the days of apartheid, right? So in the days of apartheid, there were no foreign workers as we see currently what's happening in the country. There were no, everybody was employing the local people. When I say the local people, if they were staying in KwaZulu-Natal, they were employing the Zulu people. If they were staying wherever, the Tswana people, the Pedi people, the Khoisan people, wherever they were living, they were employing the local people there. And they ran their businesses. Those people were maids in the homes. They worked in the farms. Everybody did their work. And there was no issue. Why there was no issue? Because those local people that were working, they had no rights. You see, they had no rights. They never had an office that stipulated a minimum wage for them. They never had an office that stipulated times for them. That if you have to make this person work overtime now, you have to pay him extra. They never had all of that. Then there was no such thing as a labor union. Right? There was nothing like that. So unfortunately, it suited everybody fine that these people can be exploited because they got no rights. So we must be honest with ourselves and go back to our parents and our grandparents and see how the maids were treated in the homes. You got visitors, they staying till 10 o'clock drinking tea. Their maid has to be there to wash the teacups after. She's working from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock in the night. Nobody paid her that overtime. Right? A person, there was just a doubt that maybe he could have stolen something. He was beaten up. So there was zulm made. And we can't shy away from that. We must make tawbah for it. We can't sit and act like we're very innocent. One young person sent me some screen grabs of a local chat where the local people of the soil, they are talking about Muslims in a negative light. And when they're talking about Muslims, they're talking about the Indian Muslim. So he sent me these screen grabs, and then he says to me under the Imran, I don't know how these people are talking like this, you know. So I told him, brother, let me tell you something. I agree with most of what's written here. So he said, I told him, no, boy. We made a lot of zulam also. So we're guilty. We must accept our guilt. We must make tawbah. We must make istighfar. Right? We are guilty. We exploited the situation. Right? So then he tells me, the same young man, he tells me, he says, Maulana, you know what, you're right. I didn't live through that era, but I was in university. And now in university, it's a rainbow nation now, everybody's mixed. So he says there was a person, African person, and he was very anti-Indian. But we had a good taluk, and now you know, among students you become informal. So one day I told him, hey, what's your problem, man? What you got? Why you got it in for us Indians, you know? So he said, the person said to me, he said, you know, my mother worked as a maid. My granny also worked as a maid. So I saw their tears and I heard their stories. And this has left a scar on my heart. You know? Currently now, when there is a whole movement that the illegal immigrants must leave the country, right? There's a whole movement now taking place. So what you hear many people saying, no, the locals don't work. We're employing the foreigners because the locals don't work. That's a lie. That is a lie. We're employing the foreigners for one reason. The same reason we employed the locals when they had no rights. That's why we employ the foreigners. Because the foreigners got no rights. You can underpay them. You can overwork them. They got no rights. They can't go to the labor union. There's nothing that says that they have to be paid this much or that, nothing. And they will work for anything because they just here, they know that they are illegal here. So it suits us fine to employ them. And what they say, no, the local people don't want to work. It's not that. The local person, if you exploit him now, he can turn around and tell you, excuse me, you're exploiting me. And we don't want to hear that. So it suits us fine to employ the foreigner. So we must accept our fault. It's no use making a story and making ourselves look like a victim when we are also a cause to the problem. If we don't accept our fault, we will never make tawbah, we will never make istighfar, we will never rectify ourselves. Right? So, the people that are involved in this movement of taking the foreign people out of the country, if they do it in a wrong way, if they make zulam on those people, if they beat them up, if they steal their goods, if they do it in a wrong way, then they are making zulam. That's for them to see their wrong. If people are manipulating them, whether it's Zionists, Jews, whoever it may be, the DA or whoever, right? If people are manipulating them to do what they're doing, then that's for them to see their wrong. But we must see our wrong. And we must rectify our wrong. The next thing is, where to from here? What's our duty now as Muslims? You see, I had an ustad. The older people who know him, Maulana Ismail Abdul Razak, one of the senior alims of this country, an activist. He was part of the liberation of this country. He was exiled. and he had to go to, he spent time in Africa and then he spent time in Egypt. Eventually he came back to the country. He lived in a small town called Ladysmith. But he was a visionary. He had a style that never gelled with many people. But he was a visionary. He opened an organization in a small town, Ladysmith. If you think Ladysmith is small now, you never see it those days. Right? So, he opened an organization that time by the name of Darul Quran Islamic Trust International. International. Not even national. You know, small village called Ladysmith. Not provincial, not national. International. Right? Darul Quran Trust International. I don't know if the word Islamic was there, or just Darul Quran Trust International. So, Maulana Ismail Abdul Razak, he would, if he's traveling, he would come here to this masjid, he'll read his namaz in the first saf. After namaz, he will stand up. Assalamu alaikum, nahmaduhu wa nusalli. He didn't need an invitation to give a talk in your masjid. He would just stand up and deliver a message. A short message for 5 minutes. The cry of Maulana Ismail Abdul Razak, this is what I want to highlight to you, young people going out in the field. The cry of Maulana Ismail Abdul Razak, at the time when apartheid was at its height, you couldn't imagine that the local people will rule this country. They own country. You couldn't imagine it at that time. A man of dark skin could not walk after 5 on the street. He couldn't be in the town after 1 on a Saturday. Right? So you don't know those days. You never seen it. You don't understand it. He couldn't stand in the same line in his own country. Right? There was a different line for white people. There was a different line for Indian people. There were different areas. You couldn't live in just anywhere and buy anywhere and live anywhere. It was different. If you went to the dam here, there was a signboard. Whites only. Coloreds. Asians. There was no sign for the African people. Because they were not allowed. But yet it was their country. That was apartheid. At that time, Maulana Ismail Sahab used to go town to town, and his one cry, he used to say, go to your local people and give Islam to them. Go and make da'wah. And wallahi, he used to say this, and people thought he's mad. He used to say, the day is going to come when they're going to rule the country. You give them da'wah today, they will listen to you. Because today they are oppressed. They will know that you're coming to them sincerely. Not because you're a tender vendor. Not because you want tenders from the government. Not because you want to make corruption. No, you are coming sincerely to give them Islam. So they will listen to you. And they are soft-hearted people. They will accept Islam because Islam is a natural way of life. A lot of their habits are already Islamic. It's very easy for them to take to Islam. So he used to go town to town, masjid to masjid, and he used to say this. And he didn't only say it. He bought a farm in the outskirts of Ladysmith, which became part of Ladysmith now. But those days it was the outskirts. And he used to do da'wah. And he used to bring the youngsters. Young African Zulu people, because Ladysmith was Zulu people. And he used to make them Muslim and he used to keep them there. He taught them Quran. Wallahi, when those children used to read Quran, if you put a parda in front of them, you'll swear an Arab is reading Quran. He taught them Quran like that. So we failed. Sahaba went to every place, they took Islam. We came to make money. We mustn't fool ourselves. Be true. We didn't go out there to the local person and give them Islam. So that's what we have to do. We can't worry about what's in social media. We have to worry about our duty that we didn't fulfill. We have to give da'wat to the non-Muslims. We have to go and showcase Islam to them. And that you will do with your akhlaq. And I gave our students a very simple example. I said, tomorrow you are going to go in the bus. You're going home in a bus. If on that bus you see an Indian Muslim old lady, you will go to help her with her bags. If there is an Indian Muslim family on that bus, you'll go and share your food with them. But when you are on that bus and you see an African old lady, why don't you go help her to carry her bag? If you got some sweets with you and you see an African child, why don't you go and that child is looking at you eating the sweets. Why don't you take the sweet and go and offer it to that child? That is your da'wah. You can go with your kitabs. You can go and give a big lecture there in the location. Nobody is going to listen to you. But you show akhlaq. Show akhlaq. Show the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And people will get attracted to the deen of Allah. Because the deen of Allah is a magnet. We can't bother about what's being said in social media and what's going to happen and whether Ramaphosa is selling the government to the DA or whatever is happening. We don't know all that. That's their problem. We got one purpose, to connect ourselves with Allah Ta'ala and connect the makhluk of Allah to Allah Ta'ala. Everything else in this world will come and go. At the end of the day, we have to pass on Yawmul Qiyamah. So what answer are we going to give to Allah Ta'ala that we came to a country, we benefited from its resources, we became citizens of the country, we ran our businesses, we built our masajid, we built our madaris, but we didn't give da'wah to the local person. So there are many, many musallas, maktabs that have been closed because all the teachers, they were foreigners. So now is the time to bring the local people who we supposed to have reached out to long time ago. It was our weakness. We didn't reach out. So now is the time to reach out to them. Bring them close. And now do da'wah. And see how Islam will spread. This whole thing maybe is an opportunity Allah Ta'ala is giving us once again. To spread your deen. That's your objective. That's your mission. Spread your deen. Let us not lose the opportunity. Let us not lose the opportunity. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. Allah give you tawfiq. My Shaykh, Al-Mawiz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. 14 maids worked in his house over 14 years. Every maid accepted Islam. Why? Because he instructed his wife, his honorable marhuma wife and his daughters, that you sit at the same dastarkhan and eat with them. Call the maid to sit with you there and eat with her. So when they saw the akhlaq of a Muslim, they accepted the deen. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We make da'wah and make spread Islam and show a good example of a Muslim. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.